Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Few minutes past 3 p.m. We have Tom Ackerman calling in. Some news about the Cardinals. Talk a little bit about March Madness. Right now we have friend of the show, Senator Holly Rader. She is a senator from District 27 in Cape Girardeau. She is also running for lieutenant governor, just about my favorite Republican out there. Holly, it's so great to talk to you again. How are you, Senator?
Oh, my goodness. I'm much better now that I heard your intro.
Hey.
Thank you.
See, there we go. Falling right back into the old act again. I love it. We love talking to you. We love you. This is a difficult topic today, and it's something that you know a great deal about. So I'm just going to turn this over to you. A lot of the people on the Glover Show know your backstory, but let's tell them again briefly and then how it relates to the topic we're talking about today.
Got it. So I was raised very differently than what you typically find in politics. My mother, single mom, mother struggled with mental illness her whole life. We moved over 30 times from the end of my third grade to the beginning of my 10th grade when I had to quit school to help take care of her and my little sister. So at 15, I quit school. I also married my 21-year-old boyfriend and I'm pregnant 4 months later. And so, at 15, I was married, pregnant, high school dropout, and ready to give my child the same life that I was fighting to get out of. So God opened many doors for me. I put my head down and worked, got my GED after a couple of years, and took college classes at night on the weekends, and got my degree after 17 years because I did it while I was working full-time, raising a family. And so this bill was actually the Zonta group. Zontas are a women's group. It's an international group, and Missouri has 4 chapters, I believe. The Cape Girardeau Zontas had been to an international meeting and came back and reached out to me and asked if I would consider this legislation, which is changing the marriage age to no child marriages. So 18, no exceptions. And they came over, we visited, I was actually currently on a panel, an interim committee for trying to figure out why Missouri had some of the worst numbers in human trafficking and child exploitation in the U.S. Some of that has been because of our marriage laws. And, it was a really good fit, a perfect time for, this national push with trying to tighten our laws on human trafficking while also this national push on ending child marriage altogether.
And Holly, who is opposing you, if anyone? What groups or what senators or legislators there? Who's against this?
So right now, none have come out. We got through the committee, the Senate committee, with no objections on the committee. Everyone voted for it. We had one person testify against, and it was a pastor that said, well, he would like to see some exceptions. And one of the senators questioned him and said, well, give me an instance that it would make sense that we would think that, hey, yeah, maybe we should go ahead. And he said maybe if, if the girl wanted her dad to walk her down the aisle and he was terminal. And the senator, a gentleman from Springfield, he said, there's nothing that would prevent the actual ceremony from happening if that was the case. And then, she just wouldn't sign that, marriage license, the legal binding license until she's 18. In Missouri, we can't sign a contract
right
until you're 18.
Yeah.
So that was the only objection. It makes sense. 11 states, I believe, have already passed this now without exceptions. And so I really feel like Missouri could be one.
And what's the current law, Holly? If someone wanted to marry a 15-year-old girl, could they do it?
So right now, the current law, we changed it back in 2018 to where you can't get married under 16. At 16, you can marry with a parent permission, but you couldn't marry anyone over 21.
Mm-hmm. I guess that, yeah, okay. I can understand that. So if you're just joining us, we're talking to one of our favorite state senators, Holly Rader. Holly, how does the run for lieutenant governor go?
It's looking good. You know, we've been working hard across the state. I've been in St. Louis a lot. I'll be up there a couple of days this week as well. And, you know, right now it's a pretty crowded primary. And so I'm just doing what I always do, and that's keeping my head down and working harder than everybody else.
What is the, because we're different here in Missouri. I always think of the lieutenant governor as being like the VP for the president, but it can be very different here in the state of Missouri. What is it about that particular position you think you'd be especially good at?
You know, the job obligations of the lieutenant governor in Missouri is you are the ombudsman for your veterans and your elderly, which I have, you know, my legislative career, I've certainly worked hard on that. Right now, I'm working with a group of veterans for help with chronic depression, PTSD, and suicide. And that's really been an area that I've had my heart for a long time. And then you're also the face of tourism. Okay, I'm an outdoors woman, so I love that. Missouri is a wealth of outdoor gems. But then also with that job, you are over the Senate. And so you have the ability to really delve into some policy, make some policy changes by working with a couple of senators. And you know, I'm a policy person. I've passed a lot of great things, tweaked some great legislation when it comes to our foster care system, when it comes to, you know, the fact that we don't have enough, therapists. You know, we've been talking about our mental health and, you know, treat it as your physical health. If you are sick, get an appointment. And now, you know, appointments are 2 and 3 months out. And so we need more therapists in the pipeline. All of that are things that I really feel like we could make some huge leaps forward if we had somebody from the executive branch delving into those topics. And I've been doing it as a senator, but as a senator, you have to work on everything that comes across, right? What everybody files. As lieutenant governor, I could really put some focus on some of these issues that are really affecting Missouri.
So, Holly, if people would like to learn more about you, either for what's going on now with this bill or for the vote coming up later in the fall for lieutenant governor, where do they go?
Go to my social media. We've been doing a really good job of trying to keep folks updated there. You can, so Holly Rader is my Instagram, Facebook, just Holly Rader. And then you can also sign up for my weekly update at hollyrader.com.
So if you have time when you're in St. Louis this week or the next time, just reach out to Andrew or me and come on in here in person and see us again.
Oh, I'd love that. I'm going to do that. Thank
All right.
you.
We will see you soon. Thank you, Senator. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Y'all have a great day.
You too. She's so cool.
She is cool. And I love how simple she made that to understand, because you hear this and it's like, well, what's really going on?
No gobbledygook.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of gobbledygook, talk to me like I'm 5.
Well, I was just thinking that with the way that Senator Rader gave her explanation. There's a thing on Reddit and it's like, explain like I'm 5. What does this mean? And then people will go through and do exactly that. They'll explain to you a situation as if you're 5 years old and you have no background on the situation. And I just feel like that's something we should be doing way more of in general. Because, I mean, just being on this show, there are times we have like experts in and I'm like, I don't know what we're talking about. It
right.
just starts
Can
going
we back
over
up?
Your head. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
Well, like I've been trying to get into like financial stuff lately and I've been listening to like some, I don't know, like higher ups in the financial world and they'll give a lecture and I'm like, it's like stupid for me to even listen to this because it's going so far above my head. What I need is for someone to explain to me like I'm 5 years old, the fundamentals.
I know this isn't exactly what you're talking about. I think everyone understands what you're saying.
Yeah.
But an example in my life is I'm a completely self-taught drummer. I've never taken a lesson. I've always prided myself myself in that, I don't know anything. I don't know anything. I'm completely ignorant. And I've been watching a lot of teaching videos and thinking about taking lessons for the very first time.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
And they'll be like, hey, this is a paradiddle, into a this, into a that, into a quadruple triplet. And I'm just like, I don't know. And there's this guy I found named Mike Johnston who's fantastic. He's like, left, right, right, left. Then you do this. And I'm like, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for just saying it in a way that I, because when people, Richard Feynman, one of the most intelligent people ever to live, a great physicist, said, you're not a genius if you confuse people. Genius is being able to take something like the theory of relativity and explain it to an average intelligent person. That's genius. That is as much genius as coming up with the theory of relativity in and of itself. And I've always thought when you are confused and when you can tell someone is they're trying to impress you, you know, mm-hmm. I've always been much more impressed with someone who knows more than I do, who can explain it to me in a way that I get.
Yeah.
So
I appreciate that about like our think tank segment, too. Like we get these politicians on and just the way that you phrase questions is very like accessible to the average person, whereas opposed, you know, maybe you'll tune into like a Sunday show and they start going into something. Yeah. It's like, well, what are we talking about?
I gave that up a long time ago because when I first started my career, I only knew, the only thing I knew about being on the radio were people I'd heard before.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes back to the year 2000 before like 24/7. And so the only people I had heard, a lot of them were pretty fancy pants. And I tried to ask questions in a fancy pants way. And I just got myself caught up in it. And I finally decided one day, like, I'm just going to talk like a normal person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to have worked out pretty well. You were going to say?
We live in this weird era of like gatekeeping, especially you see it online, you see it on social media, people using acronyms without any kind of explanation of what the acronym is. People using terms like colloquial terms for things. If it's like a hobby that they're into, you know, if it's model trains, they'll use like a term for trains that you only know if you're in the high. And it just makes us so much stuff like, It gatekeeps so much stuff out. And I feel like we are starting to see finally a little bit of a pushback to that with the explain like I'm five type stuff where mm-hmm. it's like, really break it down. Really, please make this big picture.
Yeah.
Because I'm not helping anyone by not understanding this. And I can't.
I like it. I like everything about it. Welcome back, guys. DGS 322. Tom Ackerman joins us. Hello, Tom.
Dave Glover, how are you, buddy?
Good, pal. Hey, let's revisit the last time we spoke, which I'm not lying to you. Andrew, what was the first thing I said to you when I got off the phone with Tom the other day?
He's amazing, and that segment was incredible, and we need to submit it for awards.
That's what I said. I said, do I put this in for an NBA award? Because I thought it was that good. But you kind of broke the news about Ali being re-signed and went through the logic of it, and that Mo and the ownership did not want him worrying about whether he had a contract and where his kids were going to go to junior high school and things like that. And over the weekend, I famously have no social media, but I still hear things. A lot of people saying, well, that makes no damn sense at all. I want him to be as uncomfortable as possible because the team sucked last year, and I want him worried that he's not going to get a contract. It's all done now, so it doesn't matter what people say, but as far as the criticism, can you respond to that?
I absolutely understand that criticism, but I will say that what people don't know, I guess, is that the contract is through 2026, but it doesn't mean that he is going to be the manager through 2026. The Cardinals are built on world championships. They have 11 world championships. They tout it themselves. They have a World Series trophy, a giant one, sitting in the parking lot of Ballpark Village. You can take pictures with it if you want.
That's like, good point.
They're all about, let's win now. Let's win the World Series, and we are built on winning the World Series. So, you know, Ollie has pressure on him. You know, he has to win the World Series at some point in his career to be in the club, so to speak. This is the Cardinals tradition. Tony La Russa did not feel like he had officially become a Cardinal until Bob Gibson walked into his office after they won the 2006 World Series, and he said, now you're in the club. Mike Matheny tried to get there. He went to the World Series in 2013, lost to the Red Sox, lost in the NLCS in 14. In 15, he had a team that won 100 games, got beat by the Cubs. That was the kind of the start of this fan base being upset and unsettled with the team. And I completely understand that. The Cubs rose to the top. The Cardinals became a team that could almost get there but wasn't quite there. And the Cardinals are still in that area. And Ollie Marmol's task, John Mozeliak's task, Bill DeWitt's task, is to get this thing back to where it is supposed to be. And I think that the three of them want to work together. So that's the important thing here, is they want continuity. They want the manager. It's their choice, and they feel comfortable with the manager, and the players, they know, have the manager's back, and they have his back. But Bill DeWitt, you heard it in the interview with me. Mm-hmm. You heard it in the press conference. You heard it in my interview with Ollie Marmol. He said two things. One, we believe in continuity. Two, and he said it very quickly, we believe in performance. And they have set a standard. It's a message to Marmol that, yes, we're backing you now. We're going to give you this contract extension. But I can assure you, Dave, they want something back. And what they want back is a winner. And are they providing him with the players that he needs? That's debatable. I think that they have a pitching staff that's pretty good. I think that they have an opportunity maybe at the trade deadline, if they are in the hunt, to give him another hammer to go with Sonny Gray to go get this thing. But what they are saying is, we're not going to let you sit out there and dangle. That is not the right strategy. We're going to give you the extension. I don't know what the money is, Dave, but I can't imagine that it's a massive deal. So what I'm telling you is, could they eat the money if he doesn't do well? Absolutely, they could.
So Tommy,
it's not a done deal.
I asked you the last week, okay, let's assume that everyone on the Cardinals staff is healthy. How you feel about the team? And you very honestly said, I feel great about the team, but I don't feel great about them winning a World Series with this lineup. Is there anything realistically that the Cardinals could have done in the offseason to make you think, yep, we're a World Series team now?
Yes, they could have gotten an ace to go along with Sonny Gray. So now it's starting to show an ugly face here, because Sonny is out for a little while. I'm not sure how long he's going to be out, but he's not going to pitch opening day. So Gray is out. Michaelis becomes the starter on opening day. You follow that with, in any particular order, Gibson, Lynn, Matz, and then you have another starter that's going to come in as the fifth starter. That's either going to be Zach Thompson, Drew Rahm, or Matthew Liberatore. So what they've done is kind of gone back to last year, in that, you know, they gambled that they'd be okay coming out of spring training with five starters, and lo and behold, one of them has gotten injured. So that's what they could have done. What could they have done? Could they have gone out and traded for Dylan Cease, who just landed with the Padres? Yes, they could have, but they would have had to give up a load of prospects, and right now at this current time, they don't have the minor league system that the Padres have. They're the team that got Cease. The Cardinals had Mason Winn. They had Jordan Walker. Those two are now major leaguers. They're not trading them. So the Padres had the minor leaguers to make that move. The other thing they could have done is traded for Jordan Montgomery, their former pitcher, or Blake Snell, who won the Cy Young in the NL. Two great pitchers. Unfortunately, they're both repped by Scott Boras, who drags things out until the last minute, and both of them are still free agents. And we're sitting here on, what, March 18th. So they knew that. They knew that was going to drag out, and that was not ideal for them. They needed to get five guys in with Wilson Contreras and get this thing rolling. So I think they're playing the long game here, and I think they are doing the same thing. Although the staff is better, they're clinging to hope that they can go get this in sort of a weaker division, a season that keeps them in it until the deadline, and then they'll deal with it when they deal with it.
Tom, exactly 60 seconds left. Can it be overstated how important this season is for the team in general, ownership, Marmol, and Mo?
It's a major, major year for the Cardinals. They absolutely do not want to repeat what happened last year. They don't want to come close to it. They want to be a winning team. So it will take a big season for them. I will say, though, that last year that season was over in June. So 71 and 91 could very well have been 61 and 101. I mean, whatever. I mean, they basically tossed the season away to trade at the deadline in the middle of the summer. So, yes, it's a huge season. Ollie Marmol, John Mozeliak are tied to Bill DeWitt. And as Bill DeWitt said the other day in a press conference, Mo said, I think they probably want to fire Ollie and me. And Bill goes, and me too. And Mozeliak looked at him and he said, owners can't be fired. We've gone over this.
That's cute.
So, you know, so anyway, I yes, it's a big year for all three of them. Will they be around next year? I do think they will, but if things go south here, we'll find out. It could get interesting if this season falls apart. I don't think that it will, though. I think they're good enough to hang around.
Thank you, Tommy. Great as always. Appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 347. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
Oh, man, did 27 degrees feel cold this morning.
I bet. And today feels cold, too,
yeah.
Even though the sun is out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're like 41, 42 degrees right now. The spring season officially begins tomorrow night, 10:06 in the evening. So tomorrow is kind of the last day of winter.
Yeah.
And then we are now officially over 12 hours of daylight, and we'll continue to gain daylight until the first day of summer.
Sweet.
Which is in June.
Sweet.
Awesome.
And I understand we have a possible another hard freeze coming up. Would that be tonight?
Yes. Yeah. You know, this morning we had it, and tonight, kind of the same thing. 27, 28 for a lot of folks. The city probably only gets back to about 30 or 31 degrees, but crystal clear skies. Then tomorrow morning, obviously a cold start, but it's sunny and it's windy. The winds are from the south tomorrow, so we jump to 65 degrees. So 40 to 65 in about a 24-hour period. Tomorrow should be the warmest afternoon, but it will be a cold start. Tuesday night, another dry cold front passes, clear and chilly, 38. So Wednesday, sunny, a little cooler on Wednesday, 55. 32 Wednesday night. Thursday, partly sunny. It's another cold day on Thursday, 48 degrees. And Friday, partly sunny and 62. I have growing interest in a possible pattern shift developing sometime over the weekend, maybe into early next week. There's still a lot of questions, but there is a strange combination of colder air coming down from the north, and a low pressure developing in the Texas Panhandle. That's a feature that I just want to get out there, put it on the table, maybe for Saturday night, Sunday into Monday.
Okay, very cool. Headlines, Rach.
Brought to you by Schnucks. Download the Schnucks Rewards app and earn 2% back on every purchase. Let's start with a sobering story. Over 400 people were accidentally shot by children last year. This is according to the gun safety group Everytown. 157 people were killed and 270 people wounded in unintentional shootings by children. This is the highest number since Everytown began tracking incidents in 2015. Roughly half of those incidents involved the child accidentally shooting themselves. In most other cases, the victim is typically a friend or relative. Lock up your guns,
people.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the only thing you can say. It's your responsibility.
Biden is going to sign an executive order on women's health research. The order will improve data collection and offer more funding for biomedical studies. I looked into this. It just seems like it's exactly what it says. It's just focused on women's health research. So that's something they're doing in
the
election year.
Isn't it weird? Like, Rach, you were just talking a couple segments ago about the explain this to me like I'm 5 years old thing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I would like explained to me is, and look, this seems like a great use of money. You know, like I've always said, I pay a lot in taxes because I make enough to be a highly paid W-2 guy, but I don't make enough to have like a forensic accountant putting my money on the islands or something. But use it for good things. I'm okay with that. I don't mind paying high taxes if you use it for good things. It sounds like a good thing. However, being like $30 trillion in debt, it seems to me like anything you would bring up, you'd be like, we don't have money for that.
Yeah, we can't afford
We can't afford cable. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. The EPA is going to finalize rules for electric cars. They will unveil some new regulations aimed at reducing emissions and increasing the number of electric cars on the roads. The Biden administration is pushing for 2/3 of all new cars, SUVs, and light trucks to be electric by the year 2032. It would also require automakers to cut their carbon emissions by half over that span.
You know, we can talk to Skip about this when he gets here in a few minutes, but the stories I'm reading almost on a daily basis now, and just my sort of gut is that a lot of people are over electric vehicles, which I'm not sure that we get to be. You know, it almost be like, you know, I'm over these new light bulbs. Well, you know, now you can not even find an old light bulb. So if it's going to be electric cars, it's going to be electric cars. But people don't seem to like them much.
Well, yeah, and they come with their own set of problems. You can't just produce it as like, oh, okay, this is going to solve every issue we have. Well, a whole new mess of problems are going to crop up if we make this switch. So I think a lot of people are feeling that. They're like, where am I going to charge the car? Yeah. The battery is so expensive and it's so heavy and it's this and it's
this. We have
this.
A lot on our mind.
We do.
Like, I mean that for real. We're a little busy.
The Biden campaign is raking in the cash. They brought in $53 million in the month of February. They're ending the month with $155 million cash on hand. So
that's exactly how much interest Donald Trump will owe a year from now. For real. I'm not trying to be funny.
$155 million?
No, $53 million is that right? Yeah, because it's about $1 million a week. Mm-hmm. So $53 million would be his annual interest. That's crazy.
Insane. Mm. Lab-grown pet food is going to hit the shelves in the United Kingdom this year. It's cat food, and it's meat made by London-based startup Meatly, which produced its first cans of the pet food last week and hopes to be selling them later this year. The product is aimed at eco-conscious pet owners who want to feed their cats without having to worry about the climate change concerns of industrial farming.
Explain it like I'm five. Lab-grown meat.
Yes.
Is meat.
It's not technically meat.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. So it doesn't
have...
It's
not from a cow or...
Yeah, it doesn't have, like, the biological components that would make something, quote-unquote,
meat. See, I'm confused between fake meat and lab-grown meat, because I thought lab-grown meat was meat that if you were to do a genetic test on it, you'd go, like, this is beef. This is a steak.
Oh, I guess
it's just the way that it's made. It's made from cells.
Okay, I guess I wasn't looking at it from the lab-grown side of it. Boy, I'm not totally sure, actually.
I think I'm right on this. It's just
I think it's safe to say that it probably tastes like crap.
And that's my point. It's like, well, there you go, boys. If you're in the lab-grown meat, maybe dogs and cats won't care.
You're right, Dave. Dave Glover is right. It is different than the fake meat. So this is lab-grown meat is meat developed from animal cell culture. So if you were a vegan, you would want to stay away from the meatless stuff besides the fact that it's cat food. But that is different than like the vegan brands where it's like it's not real meat. So you were correct, Dave Glover.
Would you guys be open to lab-grown meat, like trying it?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely, I would. And in fact, I think I don't really see why a vegan would have a big problem with lab-grown meat personally, right?
Because unless they just didn't have the taste for
it. Have the taste for it. Yeah. Or a lot of them, they say if you don't eat meat long enough, you kind of lose your stomach for it even. Yeah. Like it just kind of affects the way your diet is. But I it's not hurting anybody.
Well, I think they have to take the cells from the animals originally.
Oh,
but that's not harming the animals.
Oh, pish posh. Yeah, I think there are.
But I mean, there are vegans who are like, I won't eat honey, even though it's not hurting the bees. Right. I don't want to eat an animal
any
byproduct.
Any byproduct of an animal, right?
Rats have infested a New Orleans police headquarters, and then they get high on marijuana in the evidence room.
I saw this.
That's the headline. That's the true headline.
So, did you hear the lady's interview?
Yes. Ann Kirkpatrick is the superintendent to the Criminal Justice Committee. She said, the rats are eating our marijuana. They're all high.
They're all high back there.
They're all high.
They should be easy to catch.
So they have a rodent and a cockroach infestation, which is they say is leading to poor working conditions. And now they're surrounded by high rats. So good luck to them. I hope they get that all sorted out.
Hey, man, you got any potato chips?
No, it's like the easiest joke in the world. But you really wonder through a rat's eyes with a rat brain, are they in heaven or are they in hell?
Yeah.
You know, because they're not thinking on the levels that we're thinking.
Yeah, are they getting paranoid or are they just like...
It's like, oh my God, I swear to God, I saw a cat.
Someone's watching me.
I do like when you see videos, you see a lot of videos on TikTok of like a cat got into some edibles or whatever and the cat's just like...
You're watching weird videos.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, it's whatever they tell me to watch.
All right, fine.
Costco is cracking down on non-member food court visitors. So apparently this has always been a policy at Costco, but now they are cracking down just like they are with their membership cards. They say effective April 8th, 2024, an active Costco membership card will be required to purchase items from our food court. You can join today. Please see our membership counter for details.
Do you see the owner says that the $1.50 Costco dog is safe
for now.
For now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not the same as over my dead body.
No, it's not.
It's very different.
Very different.
I didn't even know you could go in there without the...
I didn't either. I wouldn't.
No, I didn't either.
I've been wasting all this time.
And my final story here, Budweiser is releasing new Cardinals-themed cans ahead of the 2024 season. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say you could probably get those from Schnucks.
I would think so, too.
So that's Headlines is brought to you by
Very
Schnucks,
cool. So. Thank you, Dave. We appreciate it.
You got it.
So we have Sweet 16 of movies about money coming up at the top of the hour with Skip Weber. Andrew, you have the Little Caesars pizza puffs.
I tried the puffs, so you guys don't have to. The viral puffs that everyone won't stop talking about. I had to get my hands on them. I didn't have a choice.
And?
They're pretty great.
Are they?
They are. They look like
if you took garlic cheese bread and made it a muffin.
Yeah, kind of. So they're a little hollow. They are true puffs. They are a little hollow on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
What's inside
is... You could stuff that full of sausage.
Mm-hmm. You could, and chili and beans. And so they're a little hollow inside. I got the pepperoni ones. So inside of them were a little air and then cheese, some sort of a cheese blend like ricotta and mozzarella and then some pepperonis in that. And then on top of it, it was just kind of like you said, like a cheese bread muffin almost with a really great seasoning on it.
Mm-hmm.
It was unbelievable. I got two orders of it and I'm going to have to stop myself from getting two more orders tonight.
And you need a ruling on shopping.
Yeah, okay, so if you go into a place where the prices are way too high, I'll make this quick. Go into a place where the prices are way too high and you know for a fact that they're gouging them over what they should be.
Yes.
Do you say something?
No, or I just leave.
Okay.
Like,
did you say something?
Like, what kind of store? Yeah, yeah, yeah. What kind of store?
It was, let's just say it's a game store, okay. Like a card store, essentially. You know what the MSRPs are.
Yeah.
And they're way gouged over them and not supposed to be, they just kind of go like, what do you want us to, you know, they just kind of throw their hands up about it. But because if you go in there for long enough, they start, you know, wanting you to spend money. And if you're looking at stuff and then I feel the need to go, well, I would love to, but I'm not paying, you know, $15 more than I should be for this.
How do they get away with it? Nerds?
Yeah, nerds. Yeah. It's in an affluent area as well, so I think maybe some of
right outside the gated community.
Right outside the gated community, baby.